Welcome to Gonkcast, a long-form discussion podcast about the music of English electronic duo Autechre, album by album, EP by EP. I'm Gabe.
I'm Dan.
And this episode, we're moving on to 2016 and the album that made XI seem quaint before NTS made it seem quaint 2 years later, Autechre's four-hour-long 12th LP, LSEC 1 through 5. We thought long and hard about breaking this album into multiple episodes, but we decided that something is lost when you don't experience LSEC in all its glory. At the same time, though, we want to give each installment its due one by one, so basically, buckle your seatbelts. This might go on for a while. First, I want to mention, as always, that we've worked as many of your emails as possible into this episode, but we'll get to the rest on a bonus episode next week. That means you've still got plenty of time to tell us what you think about LSEC 1 through 5, gonkcastpod@gmail.com. Our next proper episode 2 weeks from now will be on the NTS sessions. This one we might actually split into two episodes, but start sending us your opinions on the whole thing. Again, gonkcastpod@gmail.com. All right, Dan, what background info do we need to know about LSEC 1 through 5?
Autechre released LSEC with basically no warning on May 19th, 2016. The first track, Feed 1, was played on BBC Radio 6 a week earlier, and the second track, a C16 Deep Tread, was played on an Alaskan student radio station on the 18th. But it's safe to say that no one expected this five-part, four-hour-long juggernaut. LSEC made headlines for shattering the traditional album format. Several tracks approached 30 minutes in length, and it was never released on a physical medium, making it the only digital exclusive among AE's studio LPs. In a 2016 interview, one of the few the guys did for this surprise release, Sean says, Rob and I have been back and forth with this thing quite a bit, and it's become this enormous thing, and we don't know how to frame it or what it is. We don't know if it's an album or a collection of EPs or albums or just things. We have no idea what this actually is. He goes on to note that they always try to, quote, compile something that gives you a feeling from start to end. And they always think about the medium, but in this case, the medium was the AE store, which gave them the opportunity to engage with new listening habits. Rob says that they were inspired by kids on SoundCloud who upload 50 tracks in a day, as well as TV directors who recognize that some people will have a gap of a week between episodes while others will binge watch it throughout a weekend.
Yeah, as one might expect, reception to LSEC was fairly mixed. The Wire loved it, claiming, "Breaking from the traditional album format has liberated the UK's most rigorous electronic duo." And Resident Advisor was also enthusiastic, calling it among the most uncompromising, impressive, and enjoyable collections released by Rob Brown and Sean Booth. Pitchfork, on the other hand, rated each part in the 6.6 to 7.1 range, and I think was trying to make fun of the project when they said it, quote, "advanced the argument for Autechre as a post-human jam band." That sounds awesome to me personally. Critic Piero Scaruffi actually summed up the negative reactions pretty well when he wrote, "LSEC feels like a collection of leftovers, of tentative and unfinished compositions, of experiments to be continued." Fans on Rate Your Music have given the whole collection a 3.67, putting it roughly in classic territory, though if you average the ratings of the individual releases, it comes out to a 3.47. On that note, LSEC 4 is rated the highest at a 3.67, then LSEC 1 at a 3.5, then LSEC 5 at a 3.48, then LSEC 3 at a 3.43, and the last is LSEC 2 at a pretty dismal 3.28. I know that was a lot of numbers all at once. Sorry about that. What, though, is your sense, Dan, of LSEC's current reputation among fans?
I feel like, people love it. I spend most of my time in the Autechre community on Reddit. And it seems like everyone there is pretty fond of it. But also, now that I think about it, that's sort of like the first album that came out like while that subreddit was like really kind of big and populated, you know? So maybe it's just like partially that. But yeah, I mean, it seems like it's pretty much a fan's record. I don't think you see a lot of, people who only like LSEC, that's the only Autechre they know. I feel like if you dig into a four-hour record, you're probably already a fan. But it seems like, I feel like I never see anyone, shit talking it or anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a weird kind of place in the discography, I think, because it wasn't around for very long before NTS came out. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, didn't really feel like we had enough time, not to mention like the second batch of AE Live, which came out just a year later. It's like, as a community, the fans did not really have enough time to like digest LSEC, I think. And then all of a sudden NTS became like the big mammoth, like biggest album ever. And it just feels like LSEC maybe gets a little forgotten. But then at the same time, for that reason, maybe it feels like fans have this kind of like special relationship to it. Like it's almost this hidden gem. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Cause you're right. You know, especially it essentially being, you know, five albums, you know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, a normal band that was even, you know, kind of quick would take, you know, 5 years or so to release five albums. So to digest that so quickly and then be thrown all those AE Lives on top and then thrown NTS even on top of that. And then another, you know, batch of AE Lives really does, I think, you know, obscure it a little bit.
Yeah, it almost feels like the dust still hasn't settled on LSEC.
Yeah,
but what is your previous history with it?
I was a big fan of Oddtecker by the time this came out. You know, it, like I said, it was sort of the first one, like when I feel like at least I was hanging out in the R Oddtecker and everything, you know, on Reddit. So, you know, it feels like a little communal in that sense. But yeah, I enjoyed it from the get go. I, you know, it was such this like mammoth thing. It was like fun to, you know, attempt to digest it. And I just felt like, you know, I for so long was discovering new parts of it. I mean, even up until doing this podcast, you know, it's just so much to digest all at once, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I might be sort of putting some of my personal history onto what I see as like the fan response, which is just that, you know, it came out, I adored it. I mean, I was blown away. I was like hugely inspired for reasons we'll get into. And in fact, it was kind of funny because it like dropped sort of by surprise at a time when I was visiting, you know, Florida and hanging out with you a lot. And we were like working on music together. And it was just like, I was cannibalizing it as fast as I could and like writing down, like, gotta rip that off. Gotta rip that off. But I also feel like I've never gotten to spend an adequate amount of time with it. And, you know, I'll say spoiler alert, even 2 weeks of listening to nothing but it over and over again, I still don't feel like I've spent enough time with it. But it's just all of that, like how much stuff kept coming out in the years after that. It just feels like, I don't know. I was looking forward to like spending 2 weeks with LSEC because it just does kind of feel like this thing that, I don't know, I never have really gotten the time to like sift all the way through. I'm thinking we should spend a little time on the big picture here before diving into the individual installments and then maybe circling back to the project as a whole, though if we do a good job of like zooming in and out consistently, that would be great. As always is the case with these like gigantic releases, I think it's all right if the conversation gets a little bit messy. But that being said, how would you describe the overall sound of LSEC, if that's possible? What sound palette are Oddtecker working with here?
Yeah. It's hard to distill down, you know, basically five records, you know, 4 hours into, you know, a sentence or two. But I think that quote you read from Pitchfork, which, like you said, I think they're trying to poke fun, but I agree with you. It's kind of good. This is sort of like Oddtecker at their most jammy. You know, we've joked about them being, you know, the Grateful Dead of electronic music and stuff. And I think like this is sort of like where I kind of make that joke from. It is sort of like the sounds of LSEC. You know, everything's not polished or distilled down. I mean, obviously, like some of the tracks here are pushing 30 minutes and everything. Everything's just got this room to breathe. As for the sound palette, it feels like we're working with, you know, something similar to AE Live. I mean, obviously, like some of the tracks from LSEC are actually played during that, and we'll get into it. But, you know, it sort of sounds like a similar, you know, very Max MSP, like heavy kind of thing made with similar sort of palette of sounds. What would you add?
Yeah, I mean, I think AE Live is the obvious starting point. And by that, I mean like pretty, I don't know, aggressive, like abrasive grinding kind of metallic sounds, but also just a ton of like physical modeling type sounds, you know, like clanging metal, like ringing out in a room or something, like tons and tons of that. And yet it's a little different from AE Live in that it feels, I don't know, it feels like strangely sparse for the most part. Like it's very skeletal almost. There is a lot of like heavy low end. I mean, there's just such like weight to the tracks here. I feel like it's going to sound pretentious as hell if you've never listened to LSEC, but I can't imagine anybody's listening to this episode if they haven't listened to LSEC. But like, it sounds like everything is on this kind of cosmic scale. Like, you know how like you watch those videos like on Reddit or whatever, and it'll be like a GIF that shows like, okay, Jupiter is pretty big, but look how big like this star is or whatever. Like Jupiter is actually really small. It's like, it feels like even the tiny sounds here are really, really big. You know, it's just they're tiny in proportion to like the huge blown out low end and stuff. Do you kind of get what I mean? Like, it just feels like kind of slow moving and skeletal, but also huge at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, huge is a great descriptor for it. And not just, you know, the length and everything, like just the physical like sounds in the tracks are huge. Like you said, it's different in respect to AE Live in that way. And I think like maybe, you know, that has to do with like what AE Live, you know, it was built for being live, you know, playing, you know, to a crowd. And I think like this is, you know, built for, you know, the album or the, you know, the home listening, at least, since we're not even sure, they're not even sure if this is an album or anything. But yeah, I definitely agree with you. Like, you know, cosmically large is a good descriptor.
Yeah. And I think that's like totally, totally accurate, which is, it feels like if they took sort of the sounds of AE Live, which was very dense and very like pummeling and just like relentless and sort of meant to like hit you in the gut, as we were talking about. And they just sort of twisted it so that it was more for like headphone listening or something.
Yeah.
It's more just like there are so many little details to sort of sift out, which was different from AE Live. It didn't necessarily reward that kind of like meticulous, you know, pouring over every little nook and cranny. Here it kind of does, and it gives you that kind of like space to actually single things out and identify little sounds and things, where AE Live is just like so densely packed, it didn't really have that opportunity. You know, we had a listener, Tyler, wrote in to say, it's amazing how much the line between rhythm and melody is blurred throughout the album. You know, I agree with that on one hand, but on the other hand, I kind of think of this album as like blurring the line between noise and melody. You know, it feels like getting back to the idea of AE Live, which was so noisy, almost power electronics in so many places. It feels like it takes those sounds and actually somehow digs a lot of like beauty out of pure noise. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, definitely. I definitely agree. You know, this record, you know, LSEC as a whole, like really does blend like those really noisy. I mean, there's so many sounds that are like, you know, just so distorted or blown out or, you know, just blown up. But at the same time, there is like a lot of, you know, sort of like nice pads and everything going on too. It mm-hmm. really, I think it's such a great like blending of, you know, those two kind of things. I mean, cause you mentioned like power electronics and noise and stuff, like, you know, I dig some of that stuff, but you can only listen to it for so long, you know? And I think here with like, LSEC, you know, it's allowing you to like hear those kind of sounds, like, but also in a you know, almost more enjoyable kind of way. Like, it's mixed with this melody to make it like, you know, where you can listen to 4 hours of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think just what was so inspiring to me when I first heard this is that they are, you know, like when I listen to, let's say, noise or like drone or any of these kind of like non-musical type of genres, what I want something more than just noise. Like, I want to find music in noise is kind of like my mm-hmm. personal taste. And I like when you listen to like, let's say, drone or something, and what you hear, you know, it's supposed to be like sort of still and just suspended like walls of sound. But if you listen deep into it, you hear like all this pulsating and all this like kind of rhythmic, you know, activity going on. Or if you listen to noise, like you listen real close, you hear all of that same kind of like pulsating. And sometimes you even hear like, you know, what you could call melody sort of like emerging from the feedback, all twisting and tangling around each other. You know what I mean? It feels like this album is about like mining noise for those kind of interesting things that one can find beneath noise.
Yeah, yeah, 100%, yeah.
So we kind of already started to do this, but I wonder if we can attempt to describe the kind of track structures we get here, because even though there's plenty of differences between tracks, it does seem like we're in new and distinct territory as far as like looseness and jamminess goes, as you were saying. You know, a long time ago when listener AT was helping us understand how Mac's MSP works, he described LSEC as long jams on a single patch. And listener Colin wrote in to say that he loves the looseness of the compositions, adding each track explores its own little sound world without being bound by any physical time constraints, building, collapsing, and morphing in such incredible ways. So what do you think? When you hear the songs on this, you know, record, does it sound like the tracks have any kind of structure at all? And how would you describe it?
You know, kind of not. I can't remember what episode it was, but, you know, we read like that. I think it was maybe Choristus. We read that quote where one of them said that they, you know, like to make these, you know, just like hour long versions of yeah. like a loop, yeah. just kind of let it run. It sort of feels like that, you know, it sort of feels mm-hmm. like not that we've just let the loop run, left the room and, you know, we'll come back in 30 minutes. But, you know, it's this jamming on a singular, you know, sort of patch, you know, in MSP. Because of that, you know, I don't want to say that it doesn't have any structure, because I think saying no structure would just imply that it is just like literally random noise or something. You know, each track, you know, has like a melody or, you know, a place it's at. It's just, it's not really like traveling from place to place most of the time. There's some exceptions, like ELY C6 onset, like that one, like yeah, sort of takes yeah. you on a you know, there's sort of a point A to point B sort of thing. But I think overall, throughout the you know, all five discs, you know, mostly we're just sort of like in these jams that, like, you know, they shift. They're not, some of them are like very, you know, minimal and almost looping, but you know, most of them like move somewhere. It's just not like a predetermined, you know, place they're getting to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I started to feel like it's not true all the time, as you mentioned, but for the most part, I felt like I was listening to a patch rather than a composition, you know, like mm-hmm. almost like a non-linear track, you know, where it's just like, it basically, like, you could listen to it for 3 minutes or you could listen to it for 30 minutes and it's just like, it's not going to like grow or move anywhere or anything, but it's just like, I almost started to wonder if they played it, you know, indefinitely, like you kind of mentioned how they like to just put on some sort of like patch and just like hear it as they're tidying up or doing other stuff around the house, I guess. And they like kind of put it on and then they were like, all right, it takes 20 minutes for me to, you know, enjoy listening to every little thing, or like to explore this in kind of like a non-linear way, but in more of like a painting kind of way. For me to look at every little part of it, it takes 20 minutes, so this track will be 20 minutes. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's not moving. It's like just the whole thing is blown wide open and you can just kind of walk around in it.
Yeah, I think walk around in it is a good descriptor. Because you're right, you know, like, you know, especially some of the more out there kind of tracks, it never feels like, oh, I get why that was 20 minutes. You know, that was the ending, you know, like it needed to end.
Right.
It just sort of feels like, you know, they decided to end it there. You know, I was sort of thinking like, you know, me myself, like whenever I make like, you know, music, I usually like will think of something that you know I like or whatever, and then I just basically like let it play for a really long time, you know, you tweak it as it's play, like sort of, you know, a jam like that, and then, you know, have to distill down to you know, make it like you know, an actual track or something. But I feel like they almost skip that distill part, and you know, and we just get like that you know, like a snapshot of that you know, jam process. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I think it's really interesting, you know, both from like a how they work kind of way, and you know, a listening sort of way. It's just I think it's the same reason, you know, people enjoy you know, jam music, you know, like I really like, I can't find much of a difference in like these long, you know, jammy tracks here. And then, you know, listening to,
see, I'm kind of like, I decided that I don't like calling it jammy actually, because it feels so nonlinear in that way. Like, it just feels like, it feels like the song is, you know, because Max MSP, from what I understand, it's not like I'm an expert or anything, but it's like a visual, sort of programming setup. You know, it's like, it's very visual and you're sort of like connecting things and drawing things together. And it feels like they work for so long on making this like meticulous, like almost like a painting, right? Where it's just like, you see how all these like oscillators and sequencers and all this stuff is all like rigged together in the most like complicated way. And there's lots of conditionals and stuff where it's like, if this happens, then this happens some of the time. And then that affects this and blah, blah, blah. So they set up this whole like, you know, ecosystem. And then that is the track, is like that thing. And it's just like, you could listen to it for almost any amount of time. And maybe some of the tracks that kind of grow and change and evolve and like morph around, maybe it's just the fact that if you, because of the conditionals they set up, it's like eventually the thing is going to fizzle out, or eventually it's going to like, you know, just implode on itself or something like that. But it just feels like the static, unmoving thing. I don't feel like they're tweaking in real time, but I mean, it's just a guess.
I guess, you know, I didn't really think about like conditionals. You know, I sort of took like the changes to be, you know, like a person doing it, but you could be right. You know, I didn't really think about that, you know, part of the software. I mean, if that's the case, like, so do you think like the computer is basically performing this? You know, I mean, we got into this a little bit on one of the earlier episodes, but you know, like, did they just basically compose, you know, this patch, and then, you know, it plays it, so, you know, they're the conductor here rather than the performer.
That's kind of how I think of it, yeah, because it feels like they've like meticulously set it up, and then there are going to be sort of strange chance events and stuff that happen, and I bet they record like hours and hours and hours, but then they kind of pick like favorite sections or segments or whatever, and I'm sure they change things like depending on certain behaviors that the thing has. But this whole record just gives me the vibe of like something sort of created and then just let to live, you know, on its own or something. And you know, I don't have any like problem with that. I mean, maybe some people would say like, oh, that's not performance, but yeah, you're right, it's more of like being a conductor. And honestly, it is absolutely bold to me to like make non-linear music, you know. I mean, that like Autechre hasn't even really done that before. I think this is like, you know what I'm saying, I mean, that's pretty like wild.
I wish I had thought about that, you know, earlier, because like I said, I just sort of the whole time I was always sort of thinking at it from the way that any sort of changes were being made in real time, you know, by them.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I mean, yeah, we should be clear that we don't know the actual answer, which, you know, would be nice. But I guess nobody knows except, you know, old Rob and Sean. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a super interesting thing. I would have no problem with it. You know, it's a very you know, John Cage kind of, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's totally cool. And it just sounds like kind of, it just has like this kind of post-human feel where it's just like no humans are in the room or something like that. But you know, listener Tyler writes, it's a bit striking to me that despite digital music being a popular medium for years up to this point, this is the first time the AE really threw traditional song lengths out the window, with the exception of Perlin's Subrange 636, but somehow that feels different to me. Almost every track in this album is a behemoth, which makes it feel impenetrable and almost excessive. You know, it is interesting because I feel like Perlin's is, it's like an hour because it's like meant to fill a disc, you know, it's like the last disc of Quadrant. Like that's why it is as long as it is. Here they're not limited by that. And yet it's interesting how, I don't know, it's kind of designed to be like, it's almost suspicious to me how each installment is almost the same length, somewhere between 45 and 50 minutes. You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, they're not bound by physical medium, but it does feel like, like I said, it's like non-linear tracks. You could almost listen for any amount of time. And some of these tracks, I would be happy to sit in them for like another 30 minutes, you know? And it's like, it feels almost like it's just cut off because they were trying to make it fit into like these little packages. Yeah, does that make any sense?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, a lot of like, you know, things people talk about in regards to LSEC is like this, you know, embracingness of the you know, digital medium and it not mattering how long things are. But you know, they do that, but you're right, they still do kind of think about it, because you know, each of these discs is around, you know, 45 50 ish minutes, which is like a normal album kind of length. Yeah. You know, like all of these discs individually would very easily fit on a CD. Most of them would fit on a record, except that maybe not in the way the track, you know, the order might have to get shuffled, but you know, it would fit. So I do sort of like, I've thought about that before, you know, before even this podcast, like, I wonder if they maybe sort of were thinking of making it like a, you know, a box set kind of thing. And then for some reason, you know, maybe Warp thinking, you know, it would be too expensive. It wouldn't sell or something. And then, but it's strange, you know, because then they do it with NTS, and I imagine that sold fine. So you kind of think like, oh, if that worked, why don't they go back and do LSEC? You know, so it's strange because, you know, if they're truly just, you know, throwing it out the window, you know, like, why is this split into five sections, you know?
I mean, if you read, like, you know, interviews around this time, they kind of mention, like, the AE store being exciting because it's really annoying to them how they have to like complete something. And then there's this whole, you know, like a process of actually like, you know, making records and like packaging and all that shit. And like, they complained about how XI was like, you know, a full year old before they were even starting the press thing, and they were on to other stuff and then had to like talk about it in interviews. Like it was like new and exciting or something like that. And so, you know, that might be the fun part of the digital aspect of this and like why they wanted it to be digital only, because then they could just like maybe put it up much faster or something.
Yeah.
There isn't that whole bureaucratic process. But it does seem like they are still kind of rooted in like the traditional forms. And this is obviously something we'll talk about a lot more moving forward. But, you know, I think it works because I do think it's still bold and adventurous how these are like essentially nonlinear tracks. And their length is just kind of determined by like the size of the portrait, like how much there is to look at and stuff like that. And that's why I think the length is, it's not like they're like exploring like huge, like prog rock style, like evolving kind of like, you know, it's just like big landscapes or something like that. And like plenty of time to dig through them. On that note, we should talk for just a second about the visual aesthetic of this album. And, you know, again, individualized artwork for each release, as was the case with AE Live. You know, what do you think of it? Does it like suit the sound and the vibe here for you?
Yeah, I love these artworks, you know, all five of them. I think they're maybe my favorite Ottaker album covers. They're just like so cool. I like how, you know, there is an individual one for each record. You know, it's slightly different, but you know, not entirely. Like, it's hard to remember which one's which, you know, without seeing the title next to it or anything. You know, it's just, I think it does fit the music. It's just like, it gives no hint to like any humanity or, you know, any, you know, like there's no clue.
It's interesting, right? Because like Oversteps, the whole point of that was that like a human can't draw a perfect circle, but a computer, it's very easy. And now we have like actually perfect, you know, generated circles.
No, exactly. Yeah. It just feels like, so like inhuman and, you know, I don't know. It's just really neat artwork. I really dig them.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like very minimal and sparse in the way that I think of the music. And yeah, also very like sort of post-human in the sense of like these kind of perfect circles and squares and things. And I don't know. It sort of like speaks, I think, to the, like, it complements the AE Live artwork in an interesting way, which is like similar but like kind of shattered, you know, like more geometrical patterns and stuff. And these are like, I don't know, more globular and just sort of like something, I don't know, just sort of speaks to the difference between the two of them. Like, I feel like if you put both up, I would be like, yeah, that one looks more like AE Live and that one looks more like LSEC. If for some reason I had no idea what it looked like. Listener Tyler asks, do you think there's any rhyme or reason to which variation of the album art was assigned to which LSEC? They're all variations on the same idea, but do you think there's any reason why some of them have more circles than others, why the sizing of the shapes differs, etc.? I'm trying to find meaning in this, but maybe there is none. I don't think I can. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know. Didn't we read like from Designers Republic like how like the Ottaker like just sort of like gave them sort of an idea, like they didn't really like listen to the, you know, it wasn't like this sounds like, you know, Choristus to me. It was sort of like through descriptions and stuff that like Ottaker what they wanted. Like, it was a collaborative sort of thing. So I think it's just maybe they were like, you know, this is a cool sort of theme, and then maybe there's some sort of hidden code in it, but
Yeah.
It is funny that LSEC 4 is the only one that doesn't have four shapes on it. You know, like it has three.
That is funny.
So that's a little funny. It does remind me like I have like an Electron sampler, and like when you adjust like the delay, it's like these little bubbles that look a lot like these kind of, but then it gets like bigger as you do more. So it does sort of like remind me about that, but I have like the cheap, crappy one that I'm sure that they're not using. So probably coincidence.
I mean, I kind of wonder if like, without knowing really for sure at all, but like, I just wonder if, you know, I was describing how Max MSP is visual. I wonder if this is kind of like an approximation of what those patches look like. You know what I mean? Obviously like simplified greatly, but just like,
yeah, that could
little things linked together. I mean, yeah, it's just wonderful, but it's wonderful for how abstract it is and how I think it will keep us Autucker fans looking for answers where there almost certainly is none to be found. All right, we've touched on it a little bit, but it might be useful to talk about how LSEC relates to Autucker's earlier work already, maybe starting with AE Live. Listener Joe wrote in to object to the popular theory that LSEC is short for edited live sequences, saying, after listening through ungodly amounts of the 2015 live sets, it seems like there's far less material on here that has obvious roots in that live set than one would imagine, and that none of the five installments feel like they would make sense as a live set. So what do you think of that theory? Doesn't LSEC sound more like unedited live sets to you? And maybe we can make a final call on what we were discussing last episode about whether AE Live was like the laboratory where Autucker tested and developed the sounds that would become LSEC.
Well, like we talked about a little bit earlier in the episode, I think that like AE Live like really sounds like it was for the live experience, LSEC sounds like it's, you know, for the headphone experience. So I do agree with the listener, like, you know, that these don't particularly feel like live sets or anything. And I do also agree that this is sort of unedited live sequences. Except that, you know, that maybe they mean edited in the sense that like it went on for 2 hours and we only gave you 30 minutes of it or something, you know, it's hard to say. Also like LSEC might just be some crazy word they thought up and has nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, I think it's interesting how like, it does feel like AE Live is like very tight and it's very like, it's moving from one thing to the other. And this just feels like the idea gets like totally stretched out and it doesn't have, I mean, we'll talk about it, but like so much attention to like consistent flow or anything necessarily. Doesn't it all sound like it would make sense as a live set to me? But it does feel like I said, like the sounds of AE Live got further explored for closer listening reasons. Joe makes a few other comparisons, calling LSEC a higher resolution next gen expansion of the XI universe and saying XI is an N64 game like Ocarina of Time, blocky, low res, a bit glitchy, but chock full of twists, turns, and iconic moments that make it beloved. LSEC is like Twilight Princess. It's based on the same blueprint and revisits many of the same ideas and expands on them, adding a unique take on them. Overall, Twilight Princess is far more high res and impressive looking, but that doesn't necessarily make it a better game than Ocarina of Time. I don't know if this analogy speaks to you at all, Dan, but what do you think of that?
No, it doesn't, because I've never played any of those games. But I guess I get that. I get what he's saying. I don't know that I particularly agree. I see, like, you know, a lot of people like kind of compare this to XI and everything, and I think it's just basically, you know, XI got so big and then this got bigger. But it doesn't feel like this is like, I don't know, to me it doesn't feel like they're like, oh, let's do, you know, XI bigger. If anything, I feel like more of a connection with like Choristus in this. But yeah, I guess I understand what the listener's saying.
Yeah, I get what he means, because XI was like dirtier, like grimier around the edges. I mean, this is definitely like high def. It's like definitely blown out. I mean, the lows are just so booming and so huge, and there's so much like space. I mean, I feel like a good descriptor of the sound on this record is like the name of the third to last track here, Spaces How. I'm like constantly like, these spaces fucking how, because it is just so spacious, whereas I felt like XI was like very dense. So I could understand like seeing it as kind of a just like super high res version of XI, and it does feel like it shares some similarities with the kind of like rhythmic focus of XI, as I'm sure we'll discuss more, like the kind of like there's the skeleton of the track and then there's all the like stuff going on, you know, like that's what you listen to, is like the textures and everything. I mean, has like a stillness that a lot of X-Side tracks has. Joe also calls it the opposite of Choristus, since if Choristus was long jams edited down, LSEC is, quote, the fully developed idea taken just about as far as it can possibly go on every track. I thought that was kind of an interesting point, because it does seem like the opposite of trying to edit down at all, like actually stretching it as far as it can go.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said, like, this sort of reminds me of Choristus a bit more than XI. It's basically that, you know, it's like an expansion upon the ideas of, like, Choristus, because you're right, you know, or the listener's right, you know, those were long jams edited down, and I feel like they've taken the opportunity of, like, you know, digital medium and everything, and not had to do, you know, so much of that editing, and just kind of giving you the full idea. You know, with Choristus, they gave you know different packages with different, you know, versions of it all, you know, so you could sort of, you know, make your own kind of thing. And here it's like they sort of just given you, like, the one version, but like the full version of that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree a lot, actually. You know, listener Tyler sent this huge list of what he considers intentional callbacks to Autechre's earlier work. For example, he says Easter is Hub's older brother, ACDWN2 would fit on Untilted, Fold Free Casual reminds him of VI Sco's Poise, etc., etc. And he says, maybe I'm seeing things that aren't there, but this album really does seem to take a lot of their older sounds and update them by 10 to 15 years, whereas most Autechre albums, in my mind, have very little in common with their predecessors. Is it possible some of these are actually old ideas that Autechre revisited? I'm not saying that this is actually how the tracks originated, but if Booth and Brown were to come out and say so, I wouldn't be terribly surprised. Either way, I'm curious why this album has so many callbacks to older albums. I'm a little bit torn about this, because LSEC, like, I almost feel the opposite, that they're, like, often sort of calling back and, like, reworking things. And then LSEC, to me, feels like almost the first album where it's like, this is a completely new frontier. Like, there's just, like, they've taken some huge step forward or something. And yet, I do think it's a fact of the matter that when they get into, like, these kind of bigger data dump type releases, they are revisiting stuff. Like, we'll talk about it when we get there, but there's stuff on NTS that is, like, kind of reworking and, like, revisiting, I think, like, literally patches from LSEC and stuff. So I don't know. Did you ever get that impression that there were, like, a lot of callbacks on this album?
I sort of agree with you. You know, this LSEC does feel like a new frontier, you know, like a new, you know, like this is definitely like a different, you know, era of Autechre or whatever, you know, like we've tried to, you know, break apart and stuff. I do hear some sounds that remind me of, like, other sounds. I can't remember what song it is on LSEC or which song it reminds me of, because the stupid names, but it might be something from Incunabula. Remember, it's like it has that, like, car horn, like, dun, 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 kind something on LSEC, like, has sort of that car horn for a second, and that, like, it kept making me think of that track.
Latent Call, I think.
It is. It is Latent Call.
Yeah.
You know, so there was, like, little moments like that, but I was never like, oh, you know, this sounds like a, you know, whatever, a Confield song or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there were some sounds that sounded like really twisted, like Max MSP patches that reminded me, like, of the end of Confield, Lentic Catachresis, you know, where that, like, goes, like, wild and speeds up and everything, so it's just like a Max MSP patch, like, Push Too Far or something. They were like, there was stuff on there. I mean, there also, I feel like there's a lot of stuff on this record that's like very short loops or something, which sort of reminds me of, like, the Tri-Repete style, you know, where it's like the melody that they give you is so minimal, but it's kind of, like, endlessly fascinating because of just how short and, like, circular it is. I feel like, you know, the melody here is light, but it's like, I don't know, it's got that, like, instant, I don't know, just that instant, like, transfixing quality from Tri-Repete. Did you ever feel like that?
Yeah, I can feel that.
Well, I want to do one last bit of big picture stuff here by trying to answer Sean's question about what this actually is. I think we'll probably circle back to this once we've gone through all the parts. Listener Jordan wrote in to say, what is LSEC? Is it an album, a data dump, a compilation? Whatever you want to call it, LSEC is undeniably music, music in its purest form. He says he loves LSEC because it made him question what an album actually is and that it challenges the traditional album format. He writes, Autechre were always enthusiastic about music listening habits, and with LSEC, they were embracing music streaming. He adds, not every album has to be a concise, less than an hour thematic experience. Some albums are just a bunch of songs. No one is forcing you to listen to the whole thing. Not every album has to flow or have consistency. An album can just be about the music. An album can be eclectic and all over the place, just like Elsec, or should I say, Eclectisec. I'm not sure that pun totally works, but it works better
when you read it. I'll give him that.
So what is Elsec, and like, how are we supposed to listen to it?
You know, it's basically a question I feel like I've been trying to figure out since this was released. You know, I've talked about it, you know, tons of times on this podcast. I am one of those people. I think an album, like, I disagree with a lot of what this listener said. Like, I think an album does need to be like a, you know, a piece of work to listen to the whole thing. And, you know, I always said, you wouldn't just watch one scene of a movie. You know, you watch the whole movie. You know, you don't look at one corner of a painting, you look at the whole painting. But Elsec, like, really does challenge that, because, I mean, surely nobody expects you to listen to, you know, 4 hours of music all in one sitting every time you're going to listen to this. And then also, like, Altecker themselves, they've broken this into five pieces. You know, so is it five albums? You know, is it an album made of five different pieces? Which I guess, you know, that's fine. You know, like, you could think of that as, like, I don't know what it would be called with five, but, you know, like a trilogy, but with five, you know, like, you don't have to watch all three Godfathers in a row. You could take a break in between them or whatever. But then also, like, you know, like on Rate Your Music, it's like they don't even know, because they've got each individual Elsec listed under albums, and then under compilations is like Elsec as a whole, Elsec 1 to 5. So I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I came to decide. I think I used to kind of feel more like the listener here, listener Jordan, and that it was just like kind of a smattering of random tracks. And I almost kind of felt like they are not assembled in any way other than to just make each one about 45 minutes long. Like, I really used to think that, but like, having spent so much time with it the past 2 weeks, I feel like it's a 4 hour album. Like, I really have come down on that. Maybe I'll try to prove it like with evidence as we like walk through the parts, but it's like, I feel like it almost doesn't make sense unless you go like from the first track to the last track. And I kind of feel like, basically, if you wanted a good description of this, it's like, we're gonna go from feed one, the most like abrasive like noise blast possible, and we're gonna end up on like one-em or whatever, the last track of Elsec 5, which is just like this just glistening like wall of strings. We're gonna go from that to that, and it's going to make sense somehow. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it's going to make sense. While you're in the middle of it, it's not going to make any sense. You know, it's going to be like a long, winding, meandering, weird path. But when you look back at the end of one of them, you're going to be like, I get it. I get how we got from feed one to this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I totally agree. Because I sort of felt the same way early on, that it did feel like random and sort of just, you know, put together to make, you know, these albums that are all sort of the same length. But it really isn't. I feel like each, and we'll get to it as we break each record down, but each one, like, I feel like has a certain mood, and it really does like sort of work on a journey, though a meandering one, from one to five. Because you're right, we somehow make it from feed one all the way to one of them. And, you know, if you just put those two songs on back to back and said these are from the same album, know, like, how would you know, I would question how you got there. You know, how I like both of those songs, but I would question like how you would put those on the same record. And the answer is, you put 3.5 hours in between it.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely interrogate this, but I do like this comment from listener Joe, who compares Elsec to an avant-garde art gallery with five different wings. There are no descriptions for any of the works and no instructions on how you're even supposed to experience them aside from numbering the wings 1 through 5. You have the sense that each one has some kind of theme that the artist intended, but just can't quite put your finger on what it might be. The place is a bit overwhelming. Some of it is mind-blowing, and some of it just doesn't connect with you. Overall, though, you're glad you visited, and the work there gives you a lot to think about. I mean, I mentioned how a lot of the songs feel nonlinear, and it feels like you're just supposed to sort of wander around inside of them. But Do you think of the album that way? Like maybe the different parts or different wings in a museum and you're just supposed to like wander around at will?
You know, I like the description the listener gave, but I feel like you don't number them if you're not supposed to go in order. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like it's just, I don't know, because now I'm thinking, and not to get ahead, but I am thinking like NTS, you know, it's 1 through 4 and they're numbered and I don't feel the same, you know, because they are specifically to fit in, you know, a time block, you know, for a radio show. So maybe, you know, I'm trying to avoid like being a hypocrite with my own, you know, answers, but I just feel like this wasn't made to fit on a radio show. You know, it like the 1, 2, 3, 4 of NTS is, I think, episode 1, 2, 3, 4, where LSEC isn't that. And I don't think you number them if you don't, if there's not an intention to go in order. You know, you could call them something, you know, you could give each one a different name, or you wouldn't split it, or I don't know. Because I really do like that description from the listener, and I really do kind of agree with it. I feel like if I went to a museum and the wings were numbered 1 through 5, maybe this is just me, you know, I'm a rule follower, but I would go into 1 first,
right,
and I would end on 5, and I would, because I would imagine that they wouldn't number them if I wasn't supposed to go that, you know, like,
that's a good point.
You know, like a lot of museums, you know, will, you know, either it's in some sort of chronological order or thematic order or, you know, whatever. I do always feel like when you go in a museum, there's usually like a path you're supposed to take, you know, like
you don't have to, but
yeah, you don't like have to, but
what they designed it,
especially
for.
If you're, you know, if you're not familiar with the works of that museum or something, like it'll help you a lot if you go the way that they're wanting you to go. And so, I think that works here. You know, like if you're comfortable in LSEC, you know, maybe put on 4 and then 2 or something. But, you know, I think there's some sort of guide in giving you those numbers.
Yeah, I agree. But it's also just like as evidence of like it being one huge piece or something like that. It's just like, it's not always the case, but sometimes it's totally weird, I think, how like these discs end. And this is obviously something we'll talk about, but it's like, you know, Curvkatin or whatever, the last track on LSEC 1. Like, is that, that's not like any kind of grand closer. I don't think it like sums up LSEC 1, or like Seventh Slip is like the weirdest ending for LSEC 4 or whatever. And like stuff like Pendulou Casual from LSEC 5. Like, it's a weird ass opener. It almost feels like it's not supposed to be an opener. It's actually supposed to transition us from 4 to 5 or something. So, you know, I just found myself thinking a lot about like, just sort of deciding that this is like, it's ideal. I know not everybody can, but it's almost ideal if you could like put aside the time and the effort to like go all the way through it. You know, maybe take a break or whatever, but like it's one hell of a journey. On that note though, let's start zooming in on LSEC 1. You know, if LSEC 1 was its own album, which I don't think it is, but if it was, how would you describe it? What is its identity?
I think, you know, LSEC 1 I think is the one that has you know, a bit of an easier identity to describe than the other ones. This one's much more like abrasive, and we haven't got like crazy out there with the links yet. I mean, the first two tracks are, I mean, they're the 11, 12, you know, there's 2 12 minutes, 1 11 minute, you know, but there's none of these, you know, 22 30 minute kind of tracks where we're almost in normal, like, Odd-Tucker territory. But this is the, like, more abrasive, more noisy, one of the set, I think.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that because of the way it starts, and it, like, sets such a strong tone, especially because it is two, like, really long tracks, up front. But I came to decide that, like, LSEC 1 is almost, like, the sampler for what you're about to get into. Like, it kind of gives you a little taste of everything in a weird way, because, like, it gives you some of the harshest noise here with like Feed One and C16 Deep Tread. C16 Deep Tread is maybe not so noisy, but it's like loud metallic clanking. It's very like rhythmic, like almost devoid of melody and just sort of like this wild kind of groove. It gets into like some of the weirdest, most abstract territory on 13 times zero step. It gets into some of the luscious, like prettiest territory with Pendulou HV Moda. And then it gets like almost totally weird electro like bop with the last track Curvkatin. It's almost like I have a hard time identifying like what its character is, because it feels like a little sampler plate, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. It does sort of, maybe this is the lobby of the museum, you know, you put a couple pieces in there, you know, to get, before people bought their tickets, get them in. I mean, they played Feed One on the radio. That was the little sampler dish. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. You know, so listener Tyler writes, LSEC 1 sounds the most obviously like AE Live. Do you think this one was recorded earlier than the other four? It's an interesting thought. I mean, C16 Deep Tread is obviously like a big part of the AE Live sets. And it's interesting because I wouldn't have thought that, you know, like how C16 ends, like how there's like just that like clung, you know, like ringing out. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have thought that that was still part of C16 Deep Tread when I was listening to the AE Live sets and like kind of reading like, oh, around here is where C16 happens. But, you know, I mean, it is like a big 12 minute sort of chunk, but Feed One also, you know, I'm not sure that that appears on AE Live like directly, but it does have that like just pummeling low end, like abrasive power electronic destruction quality to it. I mean, do you hear this is like the most AE Live like, you know, LSEC?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to say that, you know, obviously because part of it is part of AE Live, you know, with C16. But yeah, I agree with that. It is the one that has like the most, you know, pummeling, noisy sort of thing that AE Live, you know, I had.
But then again, I'm like totally torn because it only feels that way because of, I think, the first two tracks. Like the last three tracks are not really AE Live-ish at all.
That's true. But I just feel like, you know, none of the other, you know, he said the one that's most like AE Live. I feel like the other four, you know, records don't have anything like that. You know what I mean? Like,
That's true. I mean, LSEC 2 has C7B2, which we'll talk about, which is apparently part of some of the AE Live sets, like the really, really noisy parts. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, it does sort of feel like the most rooted, and it kind of is fitting because it feels like I said, AE Live was the starting point for the sounds that we got here. And so it makes sense to sort of start like deep in AE Live territory. Now, I want to start breaking it apart by asking you what your favorite tracks are. But first, I want to quiz you on the Rate Your Music individual track ratings. Three tracks are bolded here. Let's see if you can get two of them.
All right. Feed One.
Yep.
And C16.
Yeah, you're right. And the other one is Pendulo HV Moda. So nice. Are those your favorites? What are your favorites here?
I mean, I think Feed One is the obvious, you know, highlight here. That's mm-hmm. It's such a cool track. It's such a like good opener to this record. You know, it. I feel like it really catches your attention, especially if you're gonna be in here, you know, for the whole 4-hour journey. If you're thinking of it as one big chunk, you know, it just that you need something out of the gate to like really hook you. And I think Feed One does that so well, and it's just, I mean, some of the noises they make here are just so cool, you know, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I love this track as well. I mean, I think what's cool about it is that it is like just sort of like a, feels like you're in a thunderstorm or something. Like it's just like your head is literally in a thundercloud, and it's just like pummeling you with like this rolling, like tumbling low end or something. But at the same time, there's like a lot going on. It's like kind of exactly what I was saying about like what you can dig out of noise, because if you listen like real deep into it, you know, you'll notice like these kind of they're like these little licks sort of done by like the high end. It almost sounds something like a piano, like sort of like heavily digitized or something, and like kind of being like pitch stretched and time stretched and stuff. But you know what I mean, it's like this like pummeling and then like these kind of interesting little like tangled webs of that kind of like low metallic sound, you know, but it's like melodic almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know, I just love it because it's not just noise, it's like more than just noise. And we got a lot of praise for Feed One. Listener Joe calls it possibly the coolest opener they've ever done. I love how instead of leading us into the project easy as they've done other times, they just blast us with some of the most brutal yet always very musical and engaging noise they've ever done. Like they want us to go, ah, so this is how it's gonna be. And listener Steve writes, Dan could probably empathize, but I just had some rare time at home alone. I listened to Feed One loudly and I love it. Like you guys mentioned on the AE Live podcast, some of this stuff needs to be played loudly and it's more physical than oral. He adds, what I love about electro isn't really the composition of that music, but the sound. I can't get enough of it. I felt the same way about dubstep when it was new. I just love the deep bass sound, not the hokey wubs or predictable drops. And Feed One has its own unique sound, especially about halfway through after 520 or so. It has this wonderful abrasive pummeling electro synth. I love it. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's masterful for all those reasons, that it is, it is like abrasive noise, but there's so much to explore inside of it. Do you think this has kind of a forward momentum, or is it more of a like non-linear track like I was asking about earlier?
You know, this one feels like it's got some momentum, especially compared to a lot of other things on LSEC. You know, it's still 11 and a half minutes, and, you know, so it gets like, it's not the most momentum ever, you know, but I think this one definitely, you know, moves forward a bit more than other ones.
Yeah, Joe also highlights C16 Deep Tread and Pendulu HV Moda, which he says sounds like a next generation, more advanced version of Blade Allura's with less noise and a more high-res sound design. Listener Jordan says Pendulu has so much emotion in it, certainly more emotion than anything from Amber or Incunabula. You know, I did want to highlight Pendulu as probably my favorite track here. I mean, I love Feed One probably next, but Pendulu is just like breathtaking. I mean, it's like this, it's almost like got this joyous and like kind of euphoric quality to it. I mean, just like this absolute lush sort of sound to it, and this weird just kind of like rolling grind. But it's like, if Feed One is like grinding noise, this is like somehow like kind of a clean, like pretty grind. I mean, it just feels like something like, I don't know, watching a sunset from like a distant planet or something. I mean, it's like interesting how you end up there, like in such pretty territory, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It is like that, you know, sort of pretty, but still like, you know, kind of a industrial sound, not industrial music, but like almost like, yeah, a machinery or something, you know, or like you said, a some odd planet or something. Yeah, it is odd, you know, so close to Feed One, you know, we've gotten from such harshness to such like, you know, beauty.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that I wanted to note about like C16 Deep Tread is that it's a lot of that metallic clanging. It's like very much in kind of what I would call like an industrial sound palette, but it's got the most like kind of, it's got a very like nice groove, like kind of a hip hop swagger mm-hmm. to it. I mean, it's, I don't know, would you call like this release, maybe LSEC in general, fun?
LSEC in general, I don't think of it as like a fun record. This is like a, you know, headphones kind of hanging out kind of record. Nothing here like makes me, you know, want to dance or anything. I guess LSEC 1 is maybe the more fun of the five, maybe. But I don't think fun would be a descriptor I would use.
Yeah, it's just interesting how it's like it sometimes does groove like real nicely, and you know, Feed One has kind of like, I don't know, punk show energy and stuff. I mean, I feel like maybe of all the releases, well, maybe that's not true. LSEC 4 is pretty fun, but I mean, this one is just has like a lot of energy, but also a lot of, I don't know, interesting nooks and crannies in that kind of sampler plate way. Is there anything you don't like? And maybe I could get you to guess one of the two unbolded tracks here.
I'll say Curve Cat and maybe Unbolded.
That is Unbolded. What do you think of that one? Or is that one you don't like?
No, there's nothing I dislike on this record. I dig it all. I guess that one, because it's the shorter one, you know, here only being, yeah, only being 7 minutes, you know, and it's a little more, you know, down tempo ish, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little, I mean, it's got like a nice little bop. It's just weird how it's like, it's got kind of like a fizzly, like kind of shuffling quality to it. And it sort of goes into like pure electro territory, which I feel like is such a weird little like shift to make at the end of this like particular LSEC. I mean, again, just like adds to that, because it's got like weird like spaceship bleeps.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah,
more like sounds that like I would associate with like the genre of electro rather than like the, like, cosmic entities of deep space time, you know?
Yeah, on LSEC 1, that song is the one that almost, you know, makes me think, like, is this just, you know, a random assortment, you know, to
right,
equal
right,
a link, you know, because it is the one that doesn't fit quite as well. But on its own, I mean, I like it. I just, I think maybe even its place, if we're looking at this as a singular record, and I think we sort of already touched on it, that, you know, most of them don't have like, you know, closers that obviously make them albums or something. It doesn't feel like the best closer. I, you know, like if this was just one record, I think Pendulu would have been a better close. Like I would switch, yeah, those two tracks around. So yeah, I mean, it's the one that I can, you know, nitpick at, I think.
Yeah, it's not like a great closer, and does kind of make me feel like we're not closing anything at all. Like we're really just moving right on. In fact, as sort of like a look ahead, I mean, I think Curve Kitten has like some weird like office environment energy to it, like fax machine sounding. And then I feel like the first track of Elsec 2, Elsec 6 Onset, also has that kind of like fax machine, like modem dialing thing to it. I almost started to like wonder if it is just meant to like kind of lead us right on into Elsec 2. But I will say that as far as Elsec 1 goes, 13 times zero step is probably my least favorite track here. This one feels like experiments just set to tape. Like this feels like Piero Scruffy's kind of complaint, where it's like struggling to ever come together. I mean, it's like sort of like fascinating, but it's, I don't know, it just like keeps like sort of falling apart. Like almost feels like, I mean, it's interesting, but it feels, you know what I mean, it feels like less developed than the other ones.
Yeah, it is the one that's it's a little more forgettable, I think, than the rest of the tracks as well. And yeah, you're right, I feel like it never like 100% finds its stride or anything, because you're right, it does like sort of just feel like trying to patch out and you know, maybe not. It's maybe the kind of thing, you know, if you were making just a regular length album, you'd, you know, leave on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so, I mean, summing up our thoughts on Elsec 1, I mean, it sounds like we're both in the same camp, that it's like something like a mixed bag. I mean, it's weird because it's got, like, three tracks that I consider some of the best on the whole project, which is Feed 1, C16, Deep Tread, and Pendulou, HV Moda, are just such standouts. I think Feed 1 is like a perfect opener somehow for this entire 4-hour experience. Like it really brings you in. And I mean, that is like no small feat. But then there's like these other two tracks that just feel like, I don't know, just kind of, I don't want to fault it, because it's like, that's sort of part of the idea of this whole thing, is if it is a 4-hour thing, there's going to be lots of like weird little nooks and crannies and like weird left turns that you follow and then just have to kind of return back from. But as a thing, you know, it feels like a little less successful maybe than the others.
Yeah, I think that's the difficulty in looking at these as, you know, five different records, because you're completely right. You know, I mean, Feed 1 is like such a feat, as like such a great opener for this giant, you know, 4-hour thing. But then, yeah, when you look at just this as 52 minutes, I mean, what is it, like 16 or 15, 16 minutes of it, like, I don't think are the best of the series or anything, or even just in this 52 minutes, you know, they're sort of like missteps. And, you know, in a 52 minute record, if you got 16 minutes that aren't the best, like, you know, that's sort of knocking it down. But then again, you're right. If you're going to have a 4-hour album, you sort of, it's that old, you know, white album thing we always kind of talk about. You want the not the, you know, you want the wild honey pies and stuff in there. It adds to the length and the breadth of it. And then those nooks and crannies to discover, you know, if everything's just like immediately, you know, great, like Feed 1 or something, it doesn't have like the deep dive, you know, like sort of thing you want to do in it. So I really do think that that's making me lean more towards this definitely is a, you know, a 5-disc thing that you should listen to all at once.
Yeah, I agree 100%, because it's just like, it doesn't make any really sense as an album if these five tracks were like the, you know, what number are we on now? 12th Autechre album. It's like, it would be pretty unsuccessful, I think. So it's like, but it has that kind of like mixed bag kind of quality that works on a 4-hour piece. So yeah, I really hesitate to even like judge Elsec 1 as its own thing. But goddamn, I can't say enough about Pendulou, HV Moda. I just wanted to mention also that like, I love how it sort of like resets. It like goes in almost like a breakdown quality and then like re-enters with like kind of darker shades to it. It's part of like that sunset quality, I think. I mean, I think it's an absolute masterpiece. But let's move on to Elsec 2. How would you describe Elsec 2 on its own? And does it have a strikingly different character from Elsec 1?
I think it's got a little bit of a different character. And this is the one, you know, we're starting with a 27-minute track. We're ending with a 13-minute track. You know, this is the more sort of... this is maybe the one that I think has the most, like, defining characteristic. This is almost like the ambient record or something. You know, like ELYC6 Onset, like, sort of has this like disintegration thing. It's one that, like, while very slow momentum, it's the track that I think, like, maybe most in all five LSX, like, has a point A to point B. I saw somebody in the, like, what was that thing called, like, the shout box or what, the comment box on Rate Your Music, you know, they said, like, you know, doesn't mean early onset, and it's like, you know, dementia, like, you remember that Caretaker record, a couple years ago, you know, sort of that same thing. And, you know, I don't know that I can find the word early in ELYC6, you know, but I think it does, like, even if, you know, they don't intend it to mean that, I think, like, what that person in the comment box said, like, it does sort of, like, work, you know, it does, like, sort of have this, like, disintegration kind of feeling to it. You know, it just slowly, like, trickles out. And I don't feel like much else in the entirety of LSEC, like, does that. You know, it's sort of like these snapshots of jams or bigger picture things. And I feel like that track is, like, maybe we're actually getting the whole thing, and maybe that's why it is 27 minutes. I understand too why this is the, you know, lowest rated of them. I think it's the, like, least easy listening of them because of that. I mean,
yeah, I think it's, like, the most, like, electroacoustic embedded,
yeah, exactly,
of the things here. I mean, it's, like,
exactly
the most experimental of the LSX. It's probably, I mean, it's not, like, it's the noisiest, although it's, like, pretty low key, actually. You know, we'll talk about it, but, like, C7B2 is kind of thought of as this, like, abrasive, like, Gantz Graf type thing. And I think people think that because of how abrasive and harsh the noises are. But if you, like, kind of listen to the beat, it's, like, pretty chill. It's, like, as chill as ELYC6 Onset, which also has a very chill beat. And so it's, like, interesting, like, sort of noise experiments and explorations inside of, like, pretty mellow, like, verging on ambient energy, sort of. And then for some fucking reason, there's Kimmer 151.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with that. But yeah, what were you going to say?
Yeah. I mean, again, Kimmer 151 is, again, another one of those tracks that, like, makes you think, like, are they just jamming some things together? Because I think, like, the first track and the last track, like, really do sort of fit on the same record together. Because you're right, you know, even C7B2, like, it's noisy, not in, like, the intense, like, way, just, like, in the electroacoustic way, like using, like, literal noise to make, like, you know, music. And it is, like, kind of chill, like, I think the first track is, but yeah, Kimmer 151 is this, like, kind of strange, I don't even know how to, like, describe it. It's like twisting sort of feel to it to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how it almost, like, pulls off what I think Oversteps failed to do, which is, like, to make the beat track the interlude, like, feel like the interlude in between two, like, kind of amorphous, like, swelling, kind of ambient droney type things. So in that sense, it's, like, kind of interesting how it works that way. But yeah, I mean, it's weird because, again, it's, like, it's sort of like a mixed bag, but it does feel like this one has a little bit more of an identity. And that might just be because it has only three tracks and two are, like, huge, sort of noisy electroacoustic. And a lot of that physical modeling stuff really shining through here. Like, these are really metallic clanging type of real physical object type sounds. But as you mentioned, you know, LSEC 2 is widely considered the worst of the bunch. Listener Joe writes, "The hottest take you'll probably ever get from me is that if LSEC 2 were its own separate release, it would be by far my least favorite by them and is so annoying to me that it drives the rest of LSEC down in my personal rankings. Choruses tracks like BNC Castle and FWZE were great for 3 minutes or so, but did anyone listen to those and think, oh man, if only this went on for 20 more minutes? ELYC6 Onset sounds like a mound of AOL free trial CDs that were buried above a radioactive landfill, becoming self-aware and getting their revenge on humanity by attacking us with bad dial-up. C7B2 sounds like something the FBI would have used to get the Branch Davidians to come out or to get information out of Guantanamo inmates. I'm all for abrasive music, but the stuff on LSEC 2 just sounds grating for the sake of being grading. There's probably not enough tracks to go through favorites and least favorites here, but it's worth noting that this is the only LSEC with nothing bolded on Rate Your Music. However, listener Colin says C7B2 may in fact be my all-time favorite Autechre track. It's like catching a ride on a giant metallic wave from start to finish. There's so many different movements. I especially love when the song sounds like it's collapsed entirely around 8 minutes and then rebuilds itself even stronger than it was before. Listener Jordan says, I love C7B2. That track is king shit. It's like Gansgraf having a stroke or a system crash. It's like a machine similar to a joint from Tri Repete would sound, but with edgier cutting glitch sounds, and it's all beautifully closed off with that bubbling ending that just sounds like sludge. Listener Steve compares LX6 Onset to a bad Merzbo track and says C7B2 is noisy too, but it's much more interesting. Listener Alex writes, I will side with the consensus that LX Onset is really tough to get through. It occupies the same role on LSEC that Ecole 4 does on Plus for me. Confounding, not very enjoyable at all, way too long, and a momentum killer. Just wanted to dump all that out here, you know, all at once, so we can kind of tackle these like divisive and super long tracks. I mean, we've already sort of started to, but do you like these two long tracks here?
I actually do. I like C7B2 the most. You know, I enjoy electroacoustic music, and I think like that track is Autechre, like, you know, paying homage to that kind of stuff, and I enjoy it. I like ELYC6 Onset. You know, when you're listening to the whole thing, getting through 4 hours, I think it works better than when listening to it on just an hour. You know, like if you chop this down to 45 minutes, you know, more than half of it being that, I can see like the complaint. But I think like in this giant context, you know, it's almost like even though we're it's maybe early for it, it's a bit of a breather, you know, like you can kind of just enjoy like the disintegration of it. And, you know, it's not a track that like commands, your like, you know, undivided attention. You know, it's a great like sort of, background thing, which, you know, there's a time and a place for, you know, backgroundy kind of music. And I think they do it well here. You know, Keimer, I'd maybe stick it somewhere else. You know, I don't think it's a bad track. I just think it's maybe a bad location for the track.
It's impossible to like remember it or anything.
Yeah, it is difficult.
Of how swallowed it gets by these two tracks. But I'll say I love LX6 Onset. Like I really, really do. And I do like, you know, electroacoustic type stuff, and that all that kind of, you know, stuff is appealing to me. But I also feel like this is kind of highly listenable. Like it's fascinating to me, first off, because of how dry it is. Like it's very quiet and like small sounding, which is interesting because stuff like Feed One and like Pendulou, I mentioned feeling like you were on this cosmic scale, and now all of a sudden everything feels like very small and just like tinny, you know, and there's just like no low end or anything. And I love how it's got this almost like cheap, shitty, like hi-hat running over the whole thing. Like the beat sounds so inappropriate or something, because underneath it is like a very organic kind of like bubbling and gurgling sound, like something almost cute about it. And then add to that these kind of weird atonal strings just like hanging over this track, that like in like almost like a Penderecki kind of way, like there's a lot of tension. I mean, I just feel like this is such an incredible combination of sounds. And it's true that about halfway through it becomes like much harder, because the beat sort of slowly fades away and it becomes almost like pure electroacoustic experimentation. But that's part of the journey, like you were saying. It's like that interesting sort of disintegration of this little piece. But for the most part, I feel like you can kind of tap your foot and feel the pulse throughout the whole thing. C7B2, I'm a little less into. I mean, like I said, I think it's just overstated how aggressive this track is. It's kind of like a chill, I don't know, a chill little like groove, like a little hip hop kind of groove, pretty mellow. And it's kind of like chopping noise in a hip hop way. You know, it's kind of like just different noise blasts, like kind of reassembled in different patterns. And I don't know, it gets a little heavier at the end, but I just feel like it's almost like 13 minutes of just how many different ways can we chop blasts of noise?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's interesting. And yeah, I don't find it like overly abrasive or anything. But, you know, maybe it's just being used to that kind of thing or something.
Yeah. Listener Colin shared this interesting comment. He says, certain tracks on LSEC take advantage of the Blade Aloris song structure, if that makes sense. I think Blade Aloris was a bit of a precursor to tracks like C16 Deep Tread, which also has that percussive stab throughout the entire track. That 4-4 stab basically gives you something to hold on to while the track morphs and transforms around it. That holds true for a lot of LSEC, I'd say. Pendulou HV Moda has more of a punchy car door slam throughout. C7B2 actually has a traditional techno boom bap buried underneath the metal waves of sound on top of it, etc. I mean, we're getting into some of the longest, you know, tracks here, at least one of the longest tracks here. Do you think that holds true? That like they always kind of give you something to hold on to?
Yeah, I think Odd-Tekker is like great about that, you know, just in general. But yeah, I think there's always like sort of, you know, something to grasp onto.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting how it's like XI worked that way a lot of the time, where it was like very steady beat. And you're supposed to listen to all the shit that's going on, all the textures evolving and stuff. This kind of like goes even further with that, in that the beat is often so sparse and so minimal, and it's like all about the textures, but it's still like this nice little anchor to have. Like I said, you can tap your foot through LX6 onset, like 2/3 of it, you can tap your foot through it. And yeah, it just kind of gives you like this nice anchor. I do feel like they kind of developed that from the XI quality. So how would you sum up your feelings on LSEC 2? Does it deserve to be considered one of the worst or the worst?
You know, I don't think so. I like it. I'm trying to think like it is like maybe one of the ones I would rank lower. You know, it's not my favorite, but I don't know that it's the worst. And even if it is the least good of these, I don't think that that's necessarily like negative. But basically I don't agree with the 328 on Rate Your Music. You know, I think it's much better than that. I get why it has that though. You know, this is definitely like not the easy listening disc here. But I think it's one of the, you know, more interesting experiments that we've gotten from Odd-Tekker and everything. Yeah, so I think this is the perfect place for doing something like this. You know, where else but within a 4-hour album can you take like the risk of, you know, Elec onset, you know, doing that for 27 minutes. I think it works. You know, I don't think it deserves a bad reputation or anything.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think the LX6 onset is like such a monster that it has a hard time like having an identity as a album on its own, you know? And it's like, I think C7 is interesting. It's not like a highlight for me, but it's certainly like fascinating to listen to. Keimer, a little less so, but it's so short, it's like over in just a second anyway. But it's just like there isn't quite enough time on this record for it to become any identity other than like LX6 onset and some other stuff, in my opinion, which is why I would also kind of rank it low. But goddamn, do I love LX6 onset. All right, on to LSEC 3. How would you describe the sound of this one on its own? Does this one have a clear identity? You're going to be repeating the same questions over and over.
Yeah, I know. You know, this one, I think it doesn't... They sort of like repeat the same pattern as LSEC 2. You know, we've got another three track record right after this one. Almost the same sort of track lengths, you know, starting with a 22 minute here, ending with a 24. I think this one starts kind of in the ambient territory with Easter, TBM2, very laid back, you know, kind of chill. I think TBM2 sort of does what Keimer failed to do. You know,
I kind of agree. It's a little bit better in that role.
You know, it's sort of like it's 6 minutes and 44 seconds. It's sandwiched between these two, you know, massive 20 plus minute tracks. It's going to get kind of that interlude-y feel to it. You know, I think that's inescapable. But I think like it does a good job of it. You know, I remember TBM2 much more than, you know, Keimer. I have to sort of like make an effort to remember which track that is. Whereas like TBM2, I think it's just like a real nice, like laid back, you know, like chill kind of song.
It's like a steady stomp that feels like it was playing before we came in and continues playing after we came out, which is kind of like a perfect little interlude thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It just feels like if this is that hall, the museum thing that the listener was talking about, it's almost like we're in the hallway, you don't necessarily enter the hallway at the same, same spot, or leave it at the same spot. You know, everyone sort of can experience it a different way. And, this sort of feels like that. It's, we need a hallway in between these two giant tracks. And, yeah. and this just, it just does what Keimer couldn't do, I think. And then of course, Mesh Center Reel is, so crazy. It's such like a out there track, we've getting back into like real noisy kind of stuff, just spread out for 24 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, Mesh Cinereal is like a highlight of the whole album. Yeah. For me, it's got like kind of this weird, like, again, sort of like a lumbering like chillness to it, and yet the sounds are like totally grinding and abrasive. But I mean, what happens is like those grinding sounds, they keep getting kind of pitch shifted in something like approaching a kind of nebulous melody. Like, I feel like it's actually very listenable and accessible. And then there's something about the groove of this track that is like, it's just like almost a more successful C7 from LSEC 2, where it's like, I don't know, it's just this transfixing, like almost like a voodoo groove quality. And it's got like a drum circle kind of energy to it, where there's like lots of little delays and stuff that make like interesting little rhythms just for one moment, or like interesting little echoes and trail offs to the like grinding shredded sound here. That is like an endlessly fascinating thing. Like, does not wear out its time at all over the course of 24 minutes. Easter might be a little bit different, because that one's a pretty like stationary thing. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. I think it's like fascinating because it's like an ambient, like kind of pretty, like beautiful two chords back and forth kind of piece, but there's like no reverb or anything, like nothing lush about it. It's like all kind of metallic clanging, but it's somehow turned into something like very gorgeous. I mean, it's a feat, but does it bother you that it's so stationary for so long?
No, I like it. I like very stationary, drone music and stuff. And I think like this is sort of Ottecker almost doing drone, which, I enjoy. In fact, like I wouldn't mind it if it went on a little longer. I really like the track. Maybe it's sort of in the middle of the total, package here.
Yeah.
It's maybe not the, if we're looking at it as a, one record, it's maybe not the best spot for it, but also maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's an interesting like sort of startup, but it's, I don't know. It's just so arresting. It's like absolutely fascinating to me. And kind of the best example of what I was talking about earlier about the like non-linear listening, it just feels like this huge blown out painting or something that you just are supposed to like look around at, or like a big room that you're just supposed to walk around in. Once again, this is such a short installment that I'll just like kind of dump all of the listener reactions on top of you at once. Listener Joe calls LSEC 3 an obvious highlight and writes, "I more or less agreed to name my daughter Easter, or Estere, if I'm pronouncing it right. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. I'm sorry about that. But because of how much he loves the song Easter, I don't think there's a single track that makes 22 minutes fly by quicker. It's completely monolithically unique in their discography as this bubbling, boiling drone that repeats endlessly, but in slightly different ways each time. They're completely transfixing. The beat in TBM2 is totally and completely dope. And then Mesh Cinereal comes in as what sounds like a mind-blowing synthesis of the two into something even more epic than either of the first. The transition away from the first section, where the first part melts away into the TMB2 beat, and then all of a sudden when you think the song is over, it explodes into the second section, is one of the coolest moments in their entire career. The melody, chord progression, whatever, in that second part is one of the most emotional things in the entire five-part release. Listener Jordan says, I'm going to say that I love TBM2 because somebody has to. Even if you're using it as an interlude, it's still pretty nice. It's a safe and approachable track. He also notes that Mesh Cinereal is so great, he doesn't even have to say anything more than that. So I guess we've sort of hashed it out, but is there anything you don't like about this release? Sounds like you're kind of on board with the whole thing.
Yeah. In fact, thinking about it, broken down like this, you've asked me if LSEC 2 like deserves its, kind of negative reputation. And I said no, and I still believe that, but LSEC 3 does sort of feel like LSEC 2 done better. You know, it,
yeah, a little bit.
It's the same like sort of formula, three tracks, this one sort of interlude. I feel like if I didn't like ELYC6 Onset like so much, that I think I would like agree that LSEC 2 is you know, bad or something.
Yeah,
and so it really does like kind of feel like 3 is 2 done better, especially them being like back to back. You know, if they were separated, yeah, then maybe I wouldn't draw such a comparison between the two. But it just really, it does feel like that.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Listener Steve writes, speaking of what I was saying earlier, I like Easter and the mood it sets. However, the song is much too long. All of the ideas could have been presented in a 5 to 8 minute track, and it would have felt the same. You said that Sean mentioned he likes to play a sequence or script while doing work around the house. Easter feels that way, like it's a somewhat varying sequence that repeats for 22 minutes without evolving. I mean, I have no doubt that that's how Easter came about and how a lot of these songs came about, that they were just sort of like, they have like a set it and forget it kind of quality. Yeah. And again, it's like sort of these conditionals and stuff interacting and creating strange accidents and stuff, even though, again, it's like carefully composed and conducted because they set up all the conditionals and the, and everything there. But, you know, I think Easter is just like, I sort of agree, but you enter a trance, I think, when you're listening to it because of how unchanging it is. And I think that's sort of to its credit. But I feel like if you want to pop in to Easter for 8 minutes, like, this album allows that? Like, that would be okay?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, because I think, like, it is the sort of thing that can just be played, like, forever, you know, on a, you know, on a loop or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you only want to listen to it for 8 minutes or whatever, but I don't know, things like that, like drone music and stuff, like, it sort of needs the giantness, the monolithicness of it, like, is part of the deal, you know. I don't think, like, Phil Niblock or something has the same like effect if they're 5 minutes, you know. If 5 minutes of sure. of one tone doesn't have the same effect as 45 minutes, it's just
right.
I know that sounds like maybe pretentious or stupid or something, but it's just like it's part of, you don't get to that, like, you know, trance sort of feel like in 5 minutes. It's the sense of like when you hear like something like so unchanging for so long, it makes your mind sort of like almost like hallucinate and like find changes, you know, that like may or may not, you know, specifically be there. But I just think like the length of it is so important. It's just like,
yeah,
I mean, LSEC in general, you know, like it being so long, I think like it having these big pieces like helps it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also agree with like listener Joe, where it's like Mesh Scenarial, the impact is part of like how long of a journey you've been on already. Mm-hmm. And the way it kind of like synthesizes that like physical modeling, like sort of clangy shit from the from Easter, you know, it hits harder if you spend a long time in it. So I guess we kind of summed up how much we like LSEC 3. Before moving on, though, I just want to note for anybody who's not aware, what's the deal with the Spotify version, Dan?
Yeah, it very much seems like they just made a mistake uploading it. It cuts out like 45 minutes early, or 45 seconds.
Yeah,
45 minutes. Yeah, 45 seconds early. It just, like, when you're listening on Spotify, it just ends. It just like literally cuts off. And there should be, like, when you buy it from the AE store, the track is longer. I tried bitching at Warp on Twitter, but it didn't seem to help. So, you know, if anyone wants to sign my petition, I guess, I don't know. It just like literally sounds like someone made a mistake, because you use Tidal, and you said it's correct there.
It's correct. And, you know, and I'll say, you know, it's not like you're missing like anything like absolutely mind blowing in the last 45 seconds of Mesh Scenario, but it kind of like peters apart and like, you know, everything's sort of like, I don't know, it comes to like sort of a nice conclusion in the way it just sort of shatters and falls away. But
yeah, it's an abrupt like cutoff on Spotify. Like it like literally just stops. And it's just such a shame. I don't know. It just like it just very much seems like a mistake.
Yeah. So just a heads up if you're listening on Spotify. All right. Moving right along to LSEC 4. Again, this is going to be a record long episode, I think. How would you describe LSEC 4?
I think 4 is the most fun one, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially coming off of, you know, we've had these two discs of like these giant, you know, monolithic tracks. Here, this is almost the like this is a normal Autechre record. You know, I think this is the one, the one disc that if we got rid of everything else and we just released this one, I think people would have the least problem with it. Was this the highest rated one on Radio Music?
Yeah, so this is the highest rated by far. It's the only bolded LSEC on Radio Music, in fact, at a 3.67, which is like quite a bit above. I think LSEC 1 is next at 3.5.
Yeah, see, and that doesn't surprise me at all. This is the one that's just like the most, you know, normal. We've got five tracks, which, I mean, you know, is short. You know, we still have some long things, Latent Calls, 14 and a half minutes. This one is the most like just out and out fun.
Yeah, it's like the highest BPMs by far. Definitely. On the whole LSEC. We've been like pretty mellow. I mean, it's wild that you start off in like Feed 1 and C16 Deep Tread territory, and then you've spent like a long time in like very mellow territory, despite how noisy it can be. And then ACD WN2, Acid Dwin 2, maybe it's an acid reference, kind of has that acid energy, but it just kicks off like in this slamming like electro beat. I mean, it's like a pure electro banger, and it gets a little weird in the end with this kind of like held groan pattern, like this kind of like long start stop thing, but it still is like keeping up the energy moving. You know, Latent Call again brings back like this really just, I don't know, like high energy, like a lot of urgency in Latent Call for sure. And you mentioned that kind of like, you know, bell type sound. I think of it as like an alarm. It just starts going like gawk, 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 gawk. And it just kind of like picks up the urgency of this thing. And it just has like such a relentless chug. It again does that kind of like stop start thing and gets like quite spacey and ambient, but then it always like comes like just click clacking back in. I mean, it's fantastic. I think Artov is, you know, again, it's got that kind of like consistent, like it's almost got like what I would call like reggae chord stabs or something. And then Seven Slip is like fucking weird. I'll talk about that in a second. But for the most part, and I should mention the Fold Free Casual, it's very, very spacey and just like these huge shimmering, like reverby chords and stuff. But then you get this like kind of pummeling like energy to it. I mean, it's remarkable almost how consistent this one is compared to some of the others.
Yeah, this one is like very consistent. This is the one that like definitely makes me feel like, you know, they're not just randomly jammed together or anything.
Right,
you know, this one like feels composed much more. Yeah, I mean, this is like down and out the most fun that you're going to have during LSEC, I think.
Yeah, well, I want to ask what your favorite tracks are here, but I'll quiz you about Rate Your Music because we have a few tracks to actually work with again. 4 out of 5 are bolded. What do you think is the highest?
Latent Call.
Yeah, you're right. All Latent Call. Good. What do you think is the only one that's not bolded?
Maybe Seventh Slip.
Nope, it is Artov. Should have gone with the shortest one. Which always seems to be the case here. But what are your favorite tracks here, favorite moments?
I mean, I like Latent Call. It's just, like you said, it has that like urgency to it with that like, you know, beeping alarm clock kind of thing. It's just so noisy and like abrasive and stuff. I like Fold Free Casual, even though it's a little, you know, more casual than the other ones, you know, laid back or whatever. There's nothing I dislike here. I agree with you, Seventh Slip is weird, but you know, I'll save it, we can get to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to LSEC 1 in the sense that it's like a weird way to end this kind of like electro banger segment of the album. But yeah, I mean, I'll say that like Latent Call is probably my favorite. I mean, it's just like, it's just so much fun. It's like so much energy. It's such a monster of a track. You know, listener Joe calls ACDWN2 a highlight of the whole album and says, Fold Free Casual, I've never been able to make my mind up about. Sometimes I feel like it's a standout of the album, and other times it feels like a meandering 9+ minutes that goes nowhere. I like the concept of the frantic percussion breakdown on top of the gorgeous strings, but I think my reaction to it depends on my general mood on a given day. Yeah, I mean, I like Fold Free Casual. I'll just sort of say that like whenever I'm, you know, preparing for these episodes and I'm listening, I always put like a little star next to the tracks that I want to sort of talk about as a highlight of mine. And this is the only LSEC that I didn't star anything.
Oh.
I feel like it's almost like consistently solid, but like without the huge standouts for me. You don't feel that way?
No, I can see that. I think like, you know, this one is like, Yeah, like as a whole, I think it stands out. But you're right, you know, like breaking it down, I'm looking at like the scores I, you know, personally gave each one, and it's not the highest. It's also not the lowest. But you're right, yeah, like individual track kind of wise, it does sort of have the least standout, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and I do want to sort of single out maybe like the most interesting, not my favorite, but like the most interesting track here is Seven Slip, which is like this really bizarre, like kind of skipping record thing. I mean, I jotted down, and it's funny because I wrote down like, this sounds like somebody who doesn't know how to use a turntable, like trying to scratch. And then there's like other tracks where I wrote like, you know, like we're basically in the territory of like at the end of LX6 Onset, you know, it's like, it gets into the territory where it's like, this sounds like someone who doesn't know how to use Max MSP is using it, you know, like a, like free jazz quality where like this sounds, it's so good that it sounds like they don't know how to play. But you know, Seven Slip just sounds like the weirdest, like turntable gone wrong. And like this strange kind of like almost rock-esque bass thump, you know, like a doom, 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 mm-hmm. doom kind of thing to it. And I don't know. What do you think about this trick?
I like your turntable analogy. It like sort of sounds like things are reversed, you know, like,
yeah,
but not fully. I don't know. It is like such a strange, it's very interesting in the sense that it is, so odd.
Yeah.
It definitely sounds like an experiment, you know?
Yes. An experiment, and not a great closer to LSEC 4. But again, I just don't think that LSEC 4 like matters in any real way other than like Autechre just giving you permission, like take a break now and then or something, because it's just like, it doesn't wrap up this kind of like high energy, high octane, like electro segment of the record, give or take. But it's just like a weird one-off, like strange left turn, the kind of thing you would expect to be buried deep within a 4-hour album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's the kind of thing that like really makes you feel like this is supposed to be a, you know, one big thing. Again, it's that White Album thing. It, you know, you got to kind of jam those sort of weird experiments in there to justify giving you, you know, so much stuff.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything you really dislike here? I don't know if you mentioned disliking anything.
No, nothing I like dislike. You know, I mean, I guess Seventh Slip would maybe be my like least favorite, but I do think it's very interesting. It's just maybe, you know, if I was making a playlist or something, I probably wouldn't throw it in there.
Yeah, it's like 13 times zero from LSEC 1. That it sounds the most like an experiment, like you were saying, and that's cool in the context of a 4-hour album. But yeah, I mean, so to sort of sum up feelings on LSEC 4, I feel like we've already sort of started to do that, but I want to note that like listener Tyler wrote in to say it's easily the best of the five, and listener Steve calls it his favorite as well. Like I mentioned, it's the highest rated on Rate Your Music. I mean, is it just because it's a little more accessible, a little more fun, like normies love beats, as we like to say?
I think it's like, if you're listening to each of these as individual records, it is the most like record sounding. I think like the thing that stops it from just sounding like a record is that Seventh Slip is such a odd thing to end on. I get that. I get why it is, especially in those individual ratings. And I mean, you talked about it, the rating as a whole piece, like as the compilation, you know, doesn't jive with the individual ratings. You know, it's sort of overrated, right, compared to that. So I think that the sort of person that's maybe individually rating them is thinking of them as five different records. And so that makes no surprise that the one that sounds most like an individual record would become the highest rated.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, it's more consistent, but not such high highs as I think some of the other, and maybe not even as daring and as experimental, aside from Seven Slip, as some of the other LSECs. All right, last but not least is LSEC 5, which, spoiler alert, is really my shit, I gotta say. How would you describe LSEC 5?
Yeah, it'll come as no surprise, but this also is my shit here. this is the laid back ambient-ish record, you know. We're fully going into this open space territory, letting things breathe. sitting on things for a long time, like SPTH is just like the best groove for just eight yes. minutes, you know, like letting it ride out. I will say that I was driving with my wife and I played LSEC 5 and I had the GPS going, so it wasn't, you couldn't see on the screen what it was. And she did not complain until I turned the GPS off and she saw what it was. And I said, I got you. I tricked you. Right. She likes Autechre and LSEC 5.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a couple of tracks actually on LSEC 4 that I caught my, well, now she's my wife because we got married, but nodding her head to tracks without realizing it was Autechre. So they both got exposed in 4K, as the kids say. But yeah, I mean, this LSEC is like, yeah, it's so much more lush. And I think what's interesting, right, is like what we were talking about is how it kind of worked its way there organically, this whole record, right? So we started out with like such abrasive, noisy territory, but the sounds are mostly like pretty dry, especially when you're talking about how on LX6 onset, like how dry mm-hmm. it is and like just devoid of lushness entirely. And then, but you get like little hints throughout the record, like on Pendulu HV Moda from LSEC 1, like lots of lushness there. You get some like, you know, lushness, like especially on like LSEC 4, it starts to pop in. Like there's some like droning ambience, like in the background of like Leighton Call and ACW or ACDWN2. You know, and here it's just like kind of finally taken over to the point where by the last track of LSEC 5, it is like just nothing but the biggest wall of like mm-hmm. lush strings, you know? And I just love that about this LSEC. It's like, I don't know. It's a case where I basically starred the first four tracks here as like highlights of the entire project for me. You know, listener Joe says that LSEC 5 is just as amazing as LSEC 3 for him, writing, even though plenty of AE's music has been described as apocalyptic, this would probably be their best soundtrack to the end of the world. I love how well they use silence, emptiness, and space throughout this section. Pendulu Casual is one of their most minimalistic tracks, and SPTH sounds like an incredible follow-up to the mood and soundscape of Parhelic Triangle. Space Is How V feels like a sequel to 1-1 Is and does a similar thing at the beginning where it has a repeating section that seems to expand larger and larger with some kind of reverb. It almost feels like some kind of hyper-advanced jazz piece with that melody that repeats at the beginning, a long breakdown section that feels very improvised and then goes back to the melody at the end. Frau Lau sounds like some kind of incredible track by an act like The Field, and then Wunum ends the album with the sound of a star collapsing into a black hole. I love how it tricks us at the beginning into thinking that we're going to have some beautiful, epic, ambient closer like All End before all hell breaks loose for the next 10 minutes. Listener Jordan writes, something that would make me rank a song highly is a strange drum beat, and Frau Lau is that. When I put that on, the minutes just fly by. It has a dusty sound with an apocalyptic background noise. There's that word apocalyptic again. With wonderful popping sounds that just quietly pop. It has a great catchy rhythm. He adds, Wunum is a great ending. I don't care if there's a longer version of it on NTS sessions. It's still great. So lots to unpack here. I mean, what are your favorite moments on LSEC 5?
I think SPTH is maybe my favorite track in LSEC. It's just like this awesome beat with like this crazy, like, you know, noise drum that happens. It's just like combining the things I like so much.
It has the craziest arrangement where it's like this, like the clacking is very small sounding, uh-huh. like very like light, and then those like big noise blasts sound like, again, cosmic scale. Like the fact that they're like on top of each other is so disorienting and bizarre. And those noise blasts are like, I can't wait for the next one every time.
No, because it's like, I know.
You're amazing how it's like just sounds interacting and like tangling and like just wild.
I know. It's like your speakers exploding or something. It's the kind of thing I wish it was more than 8:20, you know, because it's fairly unchanging. It's the kind of thing, you know, I could listen to for quite a while, because it is like nice, like anticipating those giant like blasts and everything. I just think it's probably my favorite of the entire series.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites of the entire series. I think actually my favorite track of the entire series is that Frau Lau. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. Track 4 looks French or something or some shit. I don't know. But that is like unbelievable. It's like it's got like a four on the floor, mm-hmm. almost kind of like techno quality. I was reminded of like Gas or The Field, like a listener Joe mentioned. It's like pure techno and like ambient techno, and it's just gorgeous with like this, like, I don't know, just wall of like droney, like warmth. I mean, something we haven't mentioned enough about this album is like they play with the kind of atonal stuff a lot, but there are a lot of tracks where it's like there's no melody in the track necessarily, but everything is like pitched into a key. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like all of the like beats and just all the noises and stuff, it feels like just sort of carefully crafted to make like this interesting, like a melodic, you know, palette or something. And so I don't know, this is just like the most like beautiful moment on the whole record. And just like, I just love how it's like, it has that Gas kind of quality where it's like very, it's like a lot of urgency, but at the same time, it feels like very still and just like motionless. I mean, I just can't get enough of that track.
Yeah, that's definitely a highlight for me too. It's just so cool. Like you said, it's like this ambient techno track, but like through this Autechre lens, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've never done anything like that.
No, ever. No, really. Like I was trying to think back when I was listening to it today, you know, if there was anything else like that. And I couldn't come up with anything.
I wanted to shout out also, I forgot to quiz you, but basically the middle three tracks are all bolded and the lowest rated is Pendaloo Casual. I love that track. I mean, it feels like post techno or something because it is like so aggressively minimalist. You know, it's like just that lightest, like almost again with like the kind of cheap hi-hat sound from LX6 Onset. And like it's got like this kind of wubbing to it, but like slow motion crawl to the whole thing. I mean, again, it's like a weird, it's weird if you're thinking of LSEC 5 as like its own album, because it's a weird opener, but it's, I don't know. It just feels like this is like LSEC 5 is like the time, maybe they were doing it on LSEC 4 with like electro, but this feels like they're kind of interrogating like electronic forms like techno, but like totally autechorizing them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. 100%. I love Pendaloo Casual as well. It's just like it's so laid back, you know. It's like it's just like, you know, transfixing or something. I think LSEC 4 into 5 is like the best like going into each other kind of thing of the series too. Like you know, LSEC 4 is the you know most upbeat, you know, party kind of thing, and then this is just the like, you know, this is the ride home or the you know the afterwards, you know, laying in bed or so, you know, it's the come down kind of thing. I think it's like really proved that this is a journey from LSEC 1 all the way to 5, you know, not just 5 random collections.
Yeah, and I think we talked about it enough, but like Oneium, I mean, it pulls off the thing that like XI kind of failed to do, and it was fine because in a strange way XI even worked better as separate parts, you know, how it's supposed to kind of be like 12 inches. But we were talking about how like the last track on XI, like it doesn't really succeed in like wrapping up all of XI because how could anything? And yet here, this like Oneium track, it feels like the cosmic singularity or something that the whole record has been like moving toward. And the way that LSEC 5 kind of gets like more droney and more ambient and kind of leads like right into Oneium, it's like, it actually is like an amazing closer to this 4-hour experience.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it does pull off, I mean, the impossible, you know, closing a 4-hour record is difficult to do. You know, especially if you, I don't want to jump too much ahead, but you know, it, like the way NTS closes is the easier way to close such a mammoth thing. I think Oneium is so interesting because it isn't just, you know, like a straight drone or something. It definitely it does have the like singularity quality, and I think it wraps up the project like very nicely.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's kind of like an endlessly fascinating like 11 minutes because it's just like, it feels like 50 layers of strings or something, but you can hear some of them like glitching and flickering and stuff like that, which is like kind of a cool mixture of the synthetic and the organic. And it just feels like it kind of like mellows out as it goes along, but it's almost like at first it's like too bright to look at, like you're looking right at the sun or something. It's like so big, this sound, but it just feels like so fitting for this huge experience we've been on. All right, so I think we can safely say that we both like LSEC 5 a whole lot, and we can start wrapping up. To do so, I want to return to the question of what LSEC is and how you're actually supposed to listen to it, even though maybe we've already answered it. But like The Wire, several listeners wrote in to say that AE sounds totally liberated by breaking with the traditional album format. Listener Colin wrote, "It really sounds like what AE have been striving to achieve for their entire careers." On the other hand, listener Joe writes, "I never feel satisfied listening to a full LSEC all the way through the way I do one of the XI 12 inches or one of the NTS sessions." And I think part of that has to do with something that you guys have brought up over and over again, format. I think that having to keep in mind things like the runtime of a CD or a side of vinyl helped Autechre to structure their releases in ways that worked wonderfully. I think that they went a bit too far off the rails here and were able to handle the complete freedom that the digital-only format gives to do whatever you want, and they ended up with a release that works in a way completely opposite to XI, not working particularly well as individual sections or as a coherent full release. He adds, editing LSEC down to an XI-length release would have made it their best overall. What is your opinion on that, on the effect of format or lack thereof on LSEC, on the decision to divvy them up into five parts? What do you think?
I do agree with the listener that I think like the individual pieces of XI work better than the individual pieces of LSEC maybe, but I think LSEC as a whole works. You know, we talked about like I feel like it really does have this journey from feed one all the way to Oneium. Which, just now saying that, they both have one in the name.
Ooh.
Ooh, conspiracy. You know, but I mean, I feel like it's definitely, obviously it's difficult to find time to listen to 4 hours, right, in a go. But I felt like, you know, over these last 2 weeks of listening, I spent like some time, you know, this day I listened to LSEC 1, you know, next day LSEC 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, and try to think of them as individual. And then, you know, a handful of times I listened to all 4 hours, you know, in a go, you know, to take a break here and there,
yeah,
you know, or whatever. But I feel like I always enjoyed the one go kind of things. In fact, like today, you know, being the last day, I listened to the whole thing straight through. And it's just like a much more enjoyable experience. In fact, like I always had rated this on Rate Your Music just only as a one individual, you know, as the compilation. And I, over these 2 weeks, I tried to do each one individually. And I feel like I rank them individually less than, you know, I sort of agree with Rate Your Music in the sense that like individually, they come up shorter than as a whole, you know?
I totally agree with that. I don't think any of them are like particularly fully satisfying on their own.
No,
and I don't even think they're supposed to be.
No, exactly. You know, I tried to think about that, like over the 2 weeks, like if this disc was the, you know, 12th Autechre record, like, how would I feel? And yeah, there's none that I'm like, maybe five, but I don't think five like works on its own as well as it does as a piece in this giant puzzle. I don't think.
And like, how weird would Oneium be as the closer
exactly.
of this 45 minute album?
It's
too so
grand.
Epic.
Yeah, it's too grand. It just, it would be, you know, it hasn't like deserved it yet, you know?
Right.
But after 4 hours, it 100% deserves it. So I think it's just, it's too difficult to break down. I really wonder why they split it into five, but it seems like from those interviews, like maybe they don't even know. I don't know. It's strange. I hate to say it, but it almost feels like they just weren't ready to fully commit to, you know, a 4 hour album. So they had to,
I mean, I think they're just like, we've talked about it before, but they're like kind of nice guys. Like they want to make it not so hard on us. I feel like, like they want to release big projects, but they want to like help you through it. And XI kind of beautifully gets like cut into fours, and it's actually really helpful to listen to it that way. Here, I feel like it's almost detrimental to think of it as five individual pieces. It just like needs to keep going. And I found myself like over these past 2 weeks, I was like, I was like, okay, today I'm going to focus on LSEC 1 or something like, and I would try to do it, and I would just find myself like like instinctively, I would go to this playlist I made where I just put them all together and just like putting it on somewhere and like not stopping it. Like I didn't, you know what I mean? I never felt like the urge to stop it. I just wanted it to keep on going all the way to the end of LSEC 5.
Yeah, I like purposely didn't put them in a playlist like that so that I wouldn't do that because I, you know, I felt the same way. I like had to purposely, you know, say I'm on LSEC 1 today or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, here's something kind of on that topic. Listener Tyler writes, when LSEC came out, I was fully entrenched in my attitude of buying music in physical formats only and was certain that if I waited long enough, LSEC would get a physical release. So I didn't buy it and I didn't listen. I'm less set in that mindset now, which is why I finally caved and listened. Although I have to admit, I'm still really disappointed there's no physical release available. Surely I'm not the only one in this boat. Why have they been so resistant to physically release this album, even if it were CD only? I mean, it might be that they honestly, like, regret breaking it up or something. I mean, I know that's like a little much to assume, but like, does it annoy you that they don't just go ahead and give it a CD or like a box set release or something? Or do you feel like it almost makes sense?
I think it's just, I don't know. Did NTS get released on CD at all? I feel like there's not enough people buying CDs to, you know, a 5 CD box set is going to cost a lot of money. And there's probably just not a big enough market for it. I buy, you know, records, and I wish that, you know, this was available. You know, I have the NTS box set and stuff, but it also, it doesn't really fit on discs cleanly in the order, that it's in here. You know, like LSEC 2, you'd have a hard time getting that on a disc, you know, ELYC 6 onset, like 27 minutes. You can jam that on one side of a disc, but you're going to lose some fidelity and bass and everything. What was that Todd Rundgren record?
Something about Wizard? A Wizard, a True Star.
Yeah. It's like an hour jammed onto one disc. I've never listened to that record on vinyl, but honestly, I always do sort of keep an eye out for it because I want to hear how awful it sounds. You know, because you're gonna lose some of that fidelity here, and you know, you can argue, well, they split up, you know, all in onto several discs. You know, they only had to do it with one track. You know, that's a whole another argument.
They could do it, but it would like cause even more problems than like dividing it already has. I feel like it would just make it even more choppy and like less satisfying in different pieces. Like, you know, you want to make this into even more individual pieces.
It just wouldn't work well on vinyl. You know, like I think like had they had the intention to release it on vinyl from the outset, you know, they could have made it where it fit better and then, you know, done it. But I think maybe they didn't come into it with the intention to put it on vinyl, and so it doesn't fit. Yeah. And then now, just because a lot of people would like it, it still just doesn't fit. You know, because I hate when record like Swans the Seer, like the track listing is all mixed around on vinyl because it doesn't fit in the order.
Right.
And it's like, I have it, you know, because I just have all the Swans records. But it's like, I don't really like to honestly listen to that on vinyl because it's not the album the way it's intended. So I think, you know, LSEC,
so it would be unsatisfying.
Yeah, it would just become for collector, you know, we're not to bring up Flaming Lips again, but it would just be in that, you know, sort of collector, you know, thing.
Couldn't resist getting another little dig in. No, on I had to. Lips. So I want to note that Tyler said he would rank the installments as 4, 3, 5, 1, 2. And listener Joe says LSEC 3 and 5 have a nice identity and a flow. LSEC 1 and 4 are more hit and miss. And LSEC 2 is actively bad. You know, I feel like we've hashed it out a lot about, like, it's not that great maybe to even bother ranking them. But, you know, did you have any temptation over the course of these 2 weeks, like, on our running rankings of all the stuff we've talked about, that they should be rated separately?
You know, I asked you, you know, basically to make sure, you know, so that I wouldn't not do it. And then you did do it. But no, I've always sort of thought of it as one piece. I've always only had LSEC 1 to 5 as a compilation, like rated in my Rate Your Music, until this week, like just as a you know, experiment or whatever. So I don't really want to, you know, I never really like thought we should rank them individually or anything, you know, it definitely feels like, I mean, honestly, you know, I usually to myself just refer to it as LSEC, you know, I tend to not think of the 1 to 5.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it has to be all together. Like it just has to be. So that being said, where did it end up on your running ranking?
I put it at number 7, right below Confield and or right above Confield and right below Coristus.
Wow. You know, I put it at number 5, right below Confield and right above Untilted. I don't know, the way you were talking about it, I was thinking it might be a little higher. Why can't you get any higher than 7?
You know, I honestly coming into it, you know, as we were coming into this episode, I thought, oh, you know, this has got a chance of, you know, disrupting the list kind of, you know, well, but maybe it had to do with breaking it into the individual pieces. But I think I came away at the end of these 2 weeks liking this a little less than I used to.
Wow.
Which definitely surprised me. You know, I still like it a lot. You know, I did realize that there are some, like, issues with it. You know, there's some tracks that don't flow together super well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more issues with it than I thought there were.
Yeah, I mean, I feel confident in saying that, like, most of the tracks have, like, a clear identity and are sort of memorable. Like a shocking amount for how long this thing is. Like, I can look at it and immediately I remember which one it is and everything, despite the weird track titles, as always. But, like, at the same time, a lot of them they're, like, kind of memorable and interesting for being, like, weird failed experiments, you know? Like, I'm glad that they exist, but, you know, stuff like Seventh Slip or, like, you know, even C7B2 and stuff, it's like they're cool and interesting and honestly fascinating, but they're just like weird, aborted, like strange things that, you know, would have been left on the cutting room floor if the whole idea of this project wasn't like just giving you everything. And I appreciate having everything to wade through, but, you know, I said at the beginning how I felt like I never have spent enough time with LSEC, despite spending a shit ton of time with it, honestly, over the last couple of years. And I still feel like at the end of these 2 weeks, like I haven't spent enough time with it. And I think that's because ultimately a lot of parts of this are just like, you know, not fully developed. Like there's nothing to get fully because it's just sort of like a strange detour.
No, I felt the same way, you know, like certain tracks, you know, I felt that I didn't remember, you know, like Keimer 151 and stuff, you know, it was like, I felt like maybe I wasn't getting those ones yet and still needed some time or whatever. But I think you're right. You know, those are just sort of the things that would have been left behind, in a more normal, you know, release. And so there is nothing to get. I think too, why, like I said, I came away from this, you know, maybe liking the album a little less than I did before, is I think I really love, like, the idea of LSEC, like this huge, you know, massive, like, 4-hour, you know, unrelenting, like, unforgiving, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, when you break it down and stuff, it's not that as much, you know, there is, like, it is memorable and like, enjoyable to listen to and stuff, which, like, you know, surprises me for such a 4-hour thing.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, yeah, there are moments like I found myself feeling like, you know, on like LSEC 4 in particular, like we were talking about, but it kind of pops up here and there where it's like, this is like kind of just a bop, you know, like it's not like some tracks, they're like kind of pushing the envelope as far as they possibly can about like being experimental and like going places nobody's ever gone before. Other times, like they're just straight up bopping, like electro grooving and it all works as far as like a mixed bag goes. But when you're talking about a mixed bag, you know, I'm not gonna be able to get like a mixed bag at number one.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I didn't realize how much of a mixed bag it is, I think.
Yeah.
Before spending so much time.
All right. Well, you want to just count down your top 10 real quick?
Yeah. Number 10, we got Incunabula, EP7, Confield, LSEC, Chloristus Amber at number 5, LP5 at number 4, XI at 3, Chiastic Slide at 2, and Trirepite at number 1.
And I've got at number 10, Gantz Graff, Sickly Sweet, Amber, Chloristus, Untilted, Elsec 1 through 5, Confield, Chiastic Slide, Trirepite, and XI. And I guess I should clarify that, I mean, it's still made my top 5, Elsec, and I think that's because the highs are so freaking high. Like, there's like five tracks here that I think are like absolute all-timers, and it's like those high highs that you know, make it so memorable for me, but like the lows that, you know, keep it from being like a all, you know, number one type of thing. All right, we did it. We made it all the way through LSAC.
Yeah, not quite as long as I thought maybe it would be. You know, I was a little worried.
Just about half the time it takes to listen to LSAC.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was worried we'd go, you know, my bedtime's coming up. I was wondering. Yeah. I was a little worried, but yeah, we did it. What do you think about LSEC 1-5? We're doing another listener email episode next week, so send us your thoughts, gonkcastpod@gmail.com. next proper episode in 2 weeks, NTS 1 and 2, most likely. We haven't figured it out 100% yet. We want your opinions and hot takes, gonkcastpod@gmail.com. If you like the show, help us out, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast, look us up on YouTube, stay connected, Twitter, Instagram, those are @gonkcastpod, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.